Canto 9. Seeing how his reverse had paled my face, my leader summoned up the means to drive the same pallor from his. He checked his pace and stopped to listen, as a man would strive to make up with his ears for his dimmed eyes in dark air and thick fog. "Nevertheless," he said, "we're bound to win, or otherwise." He paused, and then, "But no, that's idleness. We have such help, but why is it so late in coming?" I saw clearly how the first thing that he said the next would mitigate to calm my fear. From that, I feared the worst. Perhaps these fragments had a common source in some deep theme too terrible to tell. I said, "Does anyone in the long course of time descend into the hellish well this far, whose proper place is Circle One, where none are damned but all hope is cut short?" I questioned. He gave answer. "Almost none of us have made a journey of the sort that I make now, though I did once before, through the magic of Erichtho, who recalled souls to their bodies. Seeing how I wore my flesh no longer, that fell Sibyl hauled me through the wall of Dis and down to fetch a spirit from the lowest circle, where Judas resides. You've seen only a sketch so far of what this pit is like down there at the bottom of the dark. Far out of sight, the crystal sky that makes the world turn. I know well that journey to the end of night, although condemned too soon to live and die. But rest assured that it is just for now we are debarred from the sad city which adds such unholy rage. We've just seen how, to its protection by this stinking ditch." And more in the same vein, but I forget. My gaze was focused on a bastion, the ruins of whose high rim were beset in an instant by the triple power, close drawn, of three infernal furies stained with blood. In form and manner female, they were clad with snakes, and smaller snakes, as if from mud, rose from their hair, and their fierce temples had snake spawn with little horns for diadems. My guide, who knew full well the coiled intent, and the foul taste for such hissing, writhing gems of Proserpine, queen of the long lament, said, "Look! Eumenides, there on the left, Magira, on the right, Alecto weeps. Tisiphone is she who fills the cleft between them. A Greek nightmare never sleeps." I shook for fear against my poet's side. "Bring on Medusa. With her aid we'll make this man a stone." So looking down, they cried, "With Theseus we made a big mistake. Now for revenge." My master, "Turn your back. Hands over eyes, tight fingers, stay that way. Just one glimpse of the Gorgon through a crack. Goodbye forever to the light of day." And he himself turned me around. Nor did he trust my own hands, adding his as well to guard my eyes. "You of sound mind, I bid you look beneath the strange, veiled way I tell this story to the struggle in the soul of one who seeks redemption." Now, across the turbid waves, there came a thundering roll of fearful sound, with both banks at a loss to stay still, trembling at the violent roar of such a summer wind as heat propels into the woods when fallen to the floor, split branches fly away, and dizzy spells of dust are driven by its boastful pride, and even the wild beasts and shepherds flee. "Now train your gaze across that scum-skinned tide," he said to me as he set my eyes free, "to where the fog is thickest." As the snake, their enemy, sends frogs down fading through the water to the bottom of the lake to squat and wait, so I now had in view more than 1,000 dead souls fleeing. One who passed dry-shod across the Styx had come, clearing its thick air from his face. This done with his left hand, and often was the sum of all the sufferings that sapped him. No compassion, and no fear. I could well see that he was heaven-sent. I made a show of turning to my guide, but he told me, with just a sign, to shut my mouth and bow. Disdainful angel, who now faced the gate and with a little scepter touched somehow its secret spring. Not even with its weight did it resist. The way was open now. "You outcasts from the sky," the angel cried on the ghastly threshold. "You rejected race. Where did you get your overweening pride? Why fight against the will none can outface, and which so often has increased your pain? By flouting the decrees of providence, some call the fates, what can you hope to gain? Remember Cerberus and get some sense. Those wounds he carries at his throats and jaws, chains made when he was dragged out of the way of Hercules and Hades, there are laws." Thus having said what he had come to say, without a word to us, and with the air of one with other business on his mind more pressing, he turned back and left us there, to watch him take that filthy road. Confined no longer, by his holy words set free from doubt, we could take certain steps towards the city, and without a struggle we went in, and I, agog to see the hordes held there, and how, took one quick look around. And there they were, broad fields on either hand of pain and cruelty, the sight, the sound. Just as the Rhone at Arles dissolves the land into a swamp, just as at Paula near Quarnero, where the bounds of Italy are set and bathed, just so I saw it here, but far worse. The uneven territory of graveyards, and among the tombs were fires that made them glow with more intensity of heat than any forge or stove requires. The lids were lifted. Such cries of lament came out of them as only the despised and desperate could make. "Who has been sent?" I asked my guide. "To lie here, paralyzed, in open boxes, whose groans do we hear?" "Arch heretics," he said, "and every sect that followed them. And more than might appear roast in these glowing ovens, which collect their occupants according to what sort of error they espoused, and so assign the fitting heat to which they should be brought and kept at, as forever they repine." Then we turned right, and passed between all this destruction and the lofty wall of Diz.